Welcome to another episode of Minute Till Six. I'm your host, Mark Haynes, along with my co-host,
Chris Perry, Chris.Perry SR.
Yeah, and today, man, we got another special guest, which we always try to come with somebody special, but this guy we're very excited to talk to today. He's a guard for the Detroit Pistons, Langston Galloway. What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Great. How you guys doing?
Oh man, I'm doing all right over here, man. Trying to stay safe, stay healthy.
That's it. One at a time.
Yes, sir. So, man, first we want to talk about what everybody's talking about right now, which is the return. Well, it's two subjects, but the first one, the return of the NBA is it's coming back. You know, that's the plan. They aiming for July 31st. And you happen to be the Detroit Pistons player rep, correct?
Correct.
So, just wanted to see what insights you could give us on, like, what's been the process like of trying to figure out, you know, what you guys are going to do?
Yeah, no, basically just trying to, first and foremost, trying to figure out how to get us all in the same kind of area at one time to start these games. But also just all these markets opening up. Detroit's probably the last market that hasn't been open yet. We're still in quarantine right now. I think until June 12th. So, we're just trying to figure out, like, hey, are we going to if we're going to be playing, like, are they going to ship us down to Orlando or what? So that's basically, like, what's going on right now. That's the whole conversation and trying to figure out the details.
Right. So quickly, for sure, we're looking at one site, and then I've seen that there was reports that they were working on possibly having the family as a part of the bubble. Is that correct?
Yeah. The family is definitely a part of the bubble. I'm not sure that at the beginning they won't be there, but they'll at some point be inside the bubble. So basically, once you get inside the bubble, it'd be just quarantine. Yeah. Right, you're there. If you leave, that's it. Like, you're out.
Mm-hmm. Once you in, you're family.
Yep.
Langston. So as far as the bubble goes, do you know if reporters will be able to come in, or is there media involved, or is it just players, team personnel?
I'm not sure of all the other details. All I know is that we'll be there, like the players and the families. That's all I can kind of contest to, and everything else be day to day.
And being that you guys were outside of the playoff bubble, was there any, when they was talking about bringing all 30 teams back and to just bringing the playoffs back, you know, the 16, was there any moment that you guys were like, you know, you did or didn't want to play on in certain circumstances?
No, I mean, I think all of us as a unit, we all want to play. As long as we get a notice to let us know when exactly we want to be, and we don't want to just go out there and just play and just get blown out. We want to go out there and play and compete and win. So that's all our kind of camaraderie feel is, like, hey, look, as long as we get a notice in advance time to know exactly when we're going to start playing and when we need to start practicing, we'll be ready.
All right. And this year is arguably – this season has been arguably your best season in the NBA as far as, you know, your efficiency. Shooting 40% from the three, above 40 from the field, and averaging 10 points a game off the bench. What's been different for you this year compared to, you know, your years prior?
I mean, I think I got to give a lot of credit to Coach Casey, man. He's given me the opportunity to go out there and make the most of my minutes first and foremost. And then God willing, I've been healthy. I've played in every single game and got an opportunity to go out there and compete against the best in the world. And I look forward to, you know, all the preparation that I put into it and seeing it, you know, coming to fruition and continue to do that. That's what it's all about.
And I should ask this first, but let me take you back some. Before being drafted, you know, you're out of St. Joseph's. You didn't actually get drafted. You went undrafted, and you started in G League and stuff. What was your mindset, you know, after the draft and things where you didn't get picked up? Or was it difficult, or was it, you know, you just were, you know, motivated that you can, you know, turn around and make it to the NBA?
No, I think that every single day has proven to be an opportunity for me to go out there and compete. Yeah. Especially going from the G League to where I'm at now. I think that I haven't really had the opportunity to just think. I've just been out there just playing and having fun with it. And that's what it's all about, going out there, having fun, and all the sacrifice that I've put into this game, put into to my craft, and wanting to be the best I can be. And that's what I strive for every single day. And along the way, you know, I'm just trying to pull as many people as I can to help them with their journeys as well, especially the young guys. That's in, maybe not in the same position that I was in, same situation, but I mean, as one of the leaders and one of the older guys on the team, I just try to, you know, put my hand around them and just help them through the process.
Nice. This is your fourth team, Winston. Came in under the Knicks, then went to the Pelicans, the Kings, and now you're with Detroit. I think your best situation, I think basketball and everything has to be a perfect science. You know, it comes to fruition, everything working together. So like you said, with your coach Casey now, I think has been the best workout for you so far. But you're also approaching free agency. What are your thoughts, or how do you feel about that? As like you said, the season could end, the season could, you know, continue, but from there on, you have free agency. So what are you looking for in the next situation, or the current situation coming back?
Yeah, no, I mean, whenever the season ends or starts and finishes, I'm definitely, you know, taking it one day at a time. I'm excited for the process of playing and finishing out the season strong, and then worrying about, you know, the off season and what's to come. So, as of right now, I mean, you know, it's like far in my mind. Like I can see it,
right.
Not there yet. So, like I said, once they make the decision on if we're gonna play or not, then I'm gonna be able to start looking toward free agency. But right now, I just been working on a lot of business adventures and a lot of things off the court, with my LG Kicks brand, and just trying to keep my mind wrapped in that before I kind of move into the off season.
Yeah. That's what I was gonna ask you about. You're a sneaker guy, man. Tell us a little bit more about your LG Kicks brand and stuff that and what you guys are trying to do.
I have a lot in store. So LG Kicks is all about your store, your collection, and it started with just talking about my own collection and what I have going on, and then slowly but surely, like other people wanted to ask, like, hey, what's going on? What you doing? This and that. And then I just started asking people, hey, what are your story? Give me a video. Or tell me what you think about this shoe or that shoe. And it's kind of grown. Mm-hmm. I have a couple things, like I said, in store with the business plan, building that out. And then also, too, possibly a store down the line, some type of sneaker store down the line. And, I mean, just trying to figure out ways that I can kind of bring the community in to my story. Because it's been a journey, and you know, everybody loves a great story.
Yeah. And I actually, I'm not a huge sneaker guy, but I was go, cause I seen that about you, and I was go have my shoe here. I got my one pair of Jordans that I got, and they're the 11, the Concord 11s. What's your favorite pair of Jordans?
Favorite pair of all time, the He Got Game 13, Jordan 13.
Yeah, all time. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Sir. That's a classic, and I can't argue with that one. That's a classic. I'll take that one any day, right there.
Yeah, yeah. It's a story behind it, but it's a classic for me, for sure.
For sure, for sure. And go ahead.
You gotta hear the story.
My bad. Yeah, we definitely need that.
So when I was a kid, probably like 8 or 9. I that was my first pair of Jordans that my parents bought me. And once I had that pair, I was inside, outside, school. It was my all-purpose shoe.
Mm-hmm.
One day I came home. I forgot the condition of the shoe at the time, but came home and the shoe was gone. And I was like looking around the house trying to find my shoe, couldn't find it. And then my mom, she couldn't figure out what happened to the shoe, and we were just like stuck. So then months went by, and still no trace of the shoe. And I figured she I made it a point like whenever I came across the money, I was gonna make sure I definitely got a brand new pair. And when I got to college, that was my first Jordan that I got since then. And I was say, hey, I'm gonna hold on to this one, and I'm gonna build my collection from there. And then that's what I've done.
That's what's up.
And a couple of questions I have for two of your teammates, your current teammates. One, Brandon Knight. I know you wasn't there at the time when the DeAndre Jordan dunk came.
Yep.
But do you guys ever mess with him or tease him about that?
in this league, man, for example, like me getting crossed up, like nobody bring that up, like nobody bring it up, it's just gonna happen. Something embarrassing happen to you in your career. And we all stay up to the top, unless you're really close with that person, but we kinda stay up those topics and let bygones be bygones.
And the other teammate I was gonna ask you about is what is it like playing with Derrick Rose? Former MVP. He's having a tremendous year this season. What has been like for you, especially being a guard as well, to be able to play with him?
Man, it's been amazing. Truly a role model, man. Youngest MVP in history, NBA history. And play alongside of him, man. I mean, he is everything, man. He really is incredible, man, with the ball in his hands. And a lot of my buckets this season have come from him. Like, him making great passes to me, I'm knocking down shots or whatnot. So I got to give a lot of credit to him for all he's done for me. But at the same time, too, his change of pace, his quickness is still off the charts. And, he's coming back to be himself again. I mean, I don't want to say like he's transformed his game. Like he's a brand Derrick Rose, and it's a monster, man.
Nice. My question hearing you speak about D. Rose, who is the player that you would say has really coming into the league, took you under their wing, and brought you along?
Man, when I first got to get my opportunity to play with the Knicks, Melo, man. Melo was that one guy that really put his arm around me. Not much so saying, hey, look, this is what you need to do in games and like that, but just giving me the call. Just saying, hey, look, keep going, young fella. Hey, look, we need you right here. Or just him just trusting me in big situations, passing me the ball in different situations. So, he really exuded a lot of confidence in me, and just carried on throughout my career.
That's what's up. And like you brought up about Detroit is still on lockdown and quarantine and stuff like that, and you started doing the junior NBA home workouts and stuff. How did that come about, and how were you approached about that?
I was approached by the junior NBA. I'm an ambassador with the junior NBA, and basically they were just like, hey, look, we would love to have you in the backyard just doing some basketball. And I was like, I mean, that'd be great, but look, let's do this. Let's do something different. Working on, I did core. We did some jumping stuff. We did some different things like workout wise that keep the kids conditioned. Especially, it might not be every kid that wants to play basketball, but just doing different things that can help them exceed in life. And so me and my wife are doing it together. And I mean, it really took off. And I mean, it was a truly an honor to come on there and be in front of the audience that put in front of.
That's what's up. That's awesome. And yeah, like you say, it was cool that you added your own unique spin on it to where it's not, you know, necessarily basketball. It's just being, you know, healthy, working out, where anybody in, right, you know, whatever, you know, if you play sports or not, you can join. So, you know, that's pretty dope. So I could tell you, like you say, you're an entrepreneur and you're innovative. You know, you think outside the box. What I want to get your thoughts on now is the Michael Jordan documentary or docuseries just ended. I wanted to know, you know, what you think about it, starting with giving it a grade from 1 being the worst, 10 being the best.
I think it was a 10 for sure. They hit it right on the nail with everything they covered. And I'm not even just talking about the basketball side of it. I'm talking about like the behind the scenes aspect. And getting to talk about like the other guys on the team. I mean, everybody knows about Michael Jordan and what he did, but yeah, him just being able to give the mic to Steve Kerr, Horace Grant,
right,
Scott Pippen, like those guys, seeing those guys talk about the situation that they were all in and going into that last dance, and especially Phil too, like get his perspective on all this. That's what it's all about. So. I think that's what really made it interesting and made it attractive for the audience. I mean, especially with quarantine going on, yeah, that was great and all because we didn't have nothing else to watch. But I think getting those behind the scenes and really like them showing like even like Scottie Pippen's contract situation, like
right,
Michael, $33 million a year, and Scottie right, like yo, like what's going on here?
So, I can't get three. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Come on now, something. But yeah, it's definitely it was definitely interesting to see that perspective.
So to go from MJ, one of the great players, and then translate to now, if the season ended today, who's the MVP of the NBA?
You know what? I'll probably give it to LeBron this season, man. LeBron, he been having a spectacular year. Really, you know, after last season, getting to LA and like going through a lot of injury,
right,
growing and whatnot. But this season, man, I mean, he really taken off, man, and he's done a lot of different things that helped that team. I mean, AD's been a huge help to him, but yes, that his overall game, man, he really stepped up and had a heck of a year.
Yeah, I definitely agree. With everything that's going on behind the scenes, and we have Kobe's passing, I agree. I think he's done a tremendous job in just taking on that community and moving forward. But real quick, speaking of community, you also have the Galloway Group. Mm-hmm. Okay, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's the Langston Galloway Foundation. But yeah, no, you're good. But yeah, no, it's my foundation that me and my wife have kind of built from the ground up, mm-hmm, and like you touched on, is like it started as the Galloway Group, and then now we've kind of moved it on to the Langston Galloway Foundation, and it's all about student athletes and trying to educate them first and foremost, and then helping them with their health, wealth, and their well-being, and just educating the kids on all those different aspects and trying to teach them. Especially in Louisiana and then also in Detroit here, like trying to grab as many kids as we can and try to get them out the situation that they might be in or just give them an opportunity to see different things. And
right,
that's what it's all about because I know that the resources and opportunities that I was given, most kids might not get those opportunities because of maybe their grades or maybe just who they know. And
certainly.
Yeah, right. And that's what I my biggest focus is because I wasn't the most talented kid coming up when I was growing up in Baton Rouge. But I know that, like I said, those opportunities and trying to help those kids around me make it out as well. That's what mm-hmm, I really see and not leaving anybody behind.
That's what's up. And you know, since we're on community and things, want to get your thoughts on the death of George Floyd, excuse me. You know, your thoughts on that, like this is something we all, you know, we've been living through our whole lives where, you know, police brutality and, you know, murders and, you know, officers walking away without punishment. Just wanted to, you know, get your quick thoughts on the George Floyd situation.
Yeah, no, it's a really tough situation. And my main thing, I mean, I don't want to get too deep on it because, I mean, I can go for days talking about it and discussing right. it. I think that, you know, people should see how different it is to walk in our shoes. That's all I want to touch on that because, I mean, it's a lot that goes on, but that's all I want to say for right now on that subject.
For sure. Thank you on that. And like we said earlier, you played for four teams. I barely missed you in your Sacramento trip. That's why I'm in Sacramento. But between New York, got to play in New Orleans, you know, and Detroit. Yeah. Which city, not team, but which city was your favorite city to play in?
Oh, hands down, New York for sure. Really enjoyed the city. Less responsibilities at the time. I didn't have a son at the time. That city really makes you mature and grow up really fast. If you wanted to, you could be out all night, and then hey, you look up and the sun's coming out. So definitely had a lot of fun while I was in New York, but I enjoyed myself. I really put myself in the right situation going forward in New York. So man, just a lot of love for New York for sure.
That's what's up. And I only got maybe one more question for you, man. I'm going to let you get out of here, get back to your family, man. I seen y'all bike riding earlier and stuff. Yeah. And but we usually don't put people on the spot too much as far as who's the GOAT conversation. So we less it up. I'm still put you on the spot, but I just need your Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore, top five?
Four. Or go ahead, do five. We gonna just call it something else. Do five.
So I'm gonna do two top fives. All right. So because everybody always they say if you're the GOAT, then you got the most rings, right? So you gotta think about you. If you have the most rings, you got Bill Russell. You got think about this. Robert Ori has seven, right?
Yeah, Big Rob.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. So there's who else? I mean, you know, Michael Jordan got six. Then you I'm trying to think who else is in there. I mean, then you go like LeBron and Kobe, all those guys. You go in that kind of not in that specific order and like that, but you
just right, think about right. It.
But if you had to like really think about like best players of all time, no specific order. MJ, mm-hmm. I will put Kobe and LeBron. I put all three of them. They basically all like, you know, up there for sure.
Right.
I definitely put Kareem in there, man. He got the most points of all time, man. So right. He dominated the NBA. I mean, him and Will Chamberlain would have won two. Like them two, they both dominate the league, but Will Chamberlain, mm-hmm. The one that changed the game per se with the lane and 3 seconds in the key and all that. Right. And then last one, and this is just my pick for a point guard. I would go AI, man. I'm a big AI fan. That's one of my guys I look to, and I would go AI.
See, you're the second person that put AI in it. Everybody else leave him out, but yeah, man, AI was different, man. And I like the way when I ask you, you know, for your top five and stuff or whatever you say, I'm like that. It's like. Well, what does that mean? What are you asking me? Top five, this category or this category? Because, you know, I feel like a lot of times they mix it all in one.
They mix it all in one. And I actually heard an agent say this the other day. They was like, yeah, MJ is the GOAT because of how many rings he has. And he's like, yeah, you got LeBron, you got him. Then you got Kobe, got five. And then you got LeBron, they got three, well, you got four.
Three.
Yeah, well, yeah, three, yeah. But it's like, you forgetting about Bill Russell. Like, you can't, like, just forget about them. He got 11 rings, you know, like that.
Talk to him, Langston.
Is this Sunday, man? Is this Pastor Langston right here, man? You preaching.
Yeah, I'm just I only spit facts, and everybody kind of contested that.
That's what's up, man. Well, hey, man, we appreciate you giving us your time, man. You know, we're going to let you get back to the family. Hopefully, we can get you on again in the future, man. I appreciate you jumping on with us. The reason I tried to get you or whatever, too, was I was doing my Last Dance live on Clutch Points page. And right. You popped in there, and then I was like, hey, Langston, you want to come in here and talk? And then you jumped out. and I was like, let me holler at him.
I slide. Like, I'll go up on the story, and I just slide through to all the lives and just see what's going on, see what people are talking about. And then I hopped in real fast just to see what you was talking about, hop on out. But, man, I appreciate you having me on, man. And, anything you guys need, man, when we come back on, let me know.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
No doubt,
yes,
man.
Yes, sir, man. You guys, this is a Minute Till Six podcast. I'm your host, Mark Haynes. You can find me at MH the Champ, along with my co-host,
Chris Perry. You can find me at Chris.PerrySR.
It's a Minute Till Six, and we out.
Peace.